You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The Nissan Clearout Sales Event is on. Lease the 2019 Qashqai S for zero down from $279 a month at 3.6% APR for 64 months. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Final Hour Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and now up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, not here today.
Exactly.
That's what I was about to say. Jonah Siegel from The Athletic is in here.
Although the O-Dog, as much as you have been defending him.
I'm out.
Defending him, saying, you know, I side with him. I think he did the right thing calling it in. And then he takes a shot at you on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm out. You know what I'm going to do now? I got the rest of the week. I'm going to go investigate.
You should.
Drive up to Collingwood. And then I'll send back a report to you guys.
No,
to see what I find
write
out.
That on The Athletic. That's what you should do.
Where in the world is Jeff O'Neill?
Where is the constipator?
If he shows up tomorrow, then you can do a backtrack of what he did in the 48 hours that he was not on the show. And you could actually do almost like a, what is that, private investigator.
Yeah, you should be a PI. And just map out everything this guy's been doing for 48 hours. I'll guarantee you there'd be a lot of people that would want to read that.
Yes.
Especially if it gets off the rails a little bit. You know, he does something
like,
why would you ever do that even at full health, let alone now when you're sick?
He likes to hang around that one area. He goes to the car wash and there's a Greek place lunch.
Oh, yeah. He's got a couple of spots.
Yeah,
he's been out. He's been out of the condo, I guarantee you. But, yeah, the O-Dog tweeting out that apparently he offered to come in today, understanding that his voice is gone and his cough is awful, but he was told to stay home.
I don't know
who told him to stay home. I wish I came in, he said. Jonas is mailing it in. That is so
says the guy who is not here.
Yeah.
That is
good. Thank you,
uncalled
Jeff.
For.
Well,
shout out to Kyle. Kyle tweeting in with your face like superimposed over the O-Dogs on the big Overdrive.
Yeah. I saw
picture
that.
That's out there and up on all the billboards around here. So we might have to get your face just plastered all over the building.
I'll have to give it a retweet.
Yeah, I just fired that up. Anyway, Bob McKenzie will join us in about 20 minutes. The World Junior Camp is underway, so we'll get an update on that. Jim Montgomery, the head coach of the Dallas Stars, fired today for conduct, unbecoming of the team, unprofessional.
Yeah.
Again, the details, no one is on the record knowing of anything, but it's not player abuse. It wasn't like he used a racial term or something like that.
Right. It wasn't what we have seen recently coming out about coaches. But it was severe enough that Dallas felt like this is a team in a playoff spot. This is a team that's been on a run. I watched Rick Bowness's press conference. I don't know if you saw
too.
It. Like Rick, I had Rick in New York. He's a fantastic person, and he'll be a good fit there for the interim. He's a career number two. He's a career assistant coach.
2,000 games.
Yeah, 2,000 games, and he's really well liked. Really well liked in the game of hockey. But you can even tell him saying like it was a shock. You know, he said Monty called him, you know, Jim Montgomery, Monty has this team playing well. We're gonna try and keep it going. We're gonna try not to be distracted by it. It's tough because, you know, this is something that if the players weren't privy to it, like you're going into the rink today, and your head coach, that's it. That's done. He's out of your life.
Oh, there's no, it's not, he's not suspended. He's gone. He gets fired and he's out.
You have a new voice. Like, it's different. Okay, the Billy Peters situation was terrible, and you hope that the game is better for it from some of the education coming out. But Billy Peters wasn't on the thickest of ice in Calgary as it is. The team was really underperforming.
Mm-hmm.
You could argue if that didn't happen to Billy Peters, he may not even be employed today by the Flames.
Montgomery could have been fired a month and a half ago.
Exactly. Like, that happens. You know, Dallas had a terrible start. Calgary had a really tough stretch. You know, Mike Babcock had a, it just wasn't going well. They move away from him. But you could argue, now, circumstance different. Aren't there those polls at the starting of the year? Who is going to be the first coach fired? Who saw Mike Babcock, Billy Peters, Jim Montgomery?
Three playoff teams a year ago.
Right. Now, again, different circumstances and all that. Like, let's not...
No, of course, but you can't predict that when you are predicting what's going to happen. No one. Now, Babcock was talked about as being on a hot seat.
Shorter leash. We thought big American time. Thanksgiving, all of that type of stuff.
Right. But what I will say about potentially what happened here with Dallas in connection to these other stories is that if something happened here, whether it's salacious, whether it's, you know, the integrity was brought into play here, and who knows what that could be, we're going to find out at some point. The hockey world, it's too small of a world, but they all talk. It's going to get out at some point. Was this Dallas saying, you know what, we've got to do this quickly before a video comes out, before audio comes out, before someone speaks on it, before there's a tweet. I heard this happen. And that is a pivotal change in pro sports.
Well, remember
not
Ray
sitting
Rice?
There saying, you know, we're going to wait to see it. Well, yeah. Now, that's an extreme example.
But they suspended him, what, 2 games before they had the video?
Right.
And then the video came out, and everyone's like, 2 games?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do you think it's, like, preemptive? We just want to – maybe it's just you just want to do what you think is the right thing.
Well, that could be the case.
But it has to be different now. Like, you've been a coach. Like, if you were in the coaching community right now, would you feel a little bit like, not on edge, but I got to be a little more.
Sure. Well, I'll be honest. Hearing Bettman's words last night, I thought were very, I don't even know what the word is, powerful. I guess power. For him to say, we don't like surprises. And there are going to be severe consequences if we don't find out any situations, and this comes to light 2 years down the road.
Right.
So my first instinct, and again, I know people may not want to hear this, but organizations like to keep things in-house. That's, you know, I know the culture is changing and is going to change, but I would have thought if there was an incident, that a lot of times they like to keep it in-house and either bad wording, but sweep it under the carpet, deal with it, do whatever.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
That's what's changed here.
Right, and that's going to change.
Right.
Because if these stories start to come out and go, hold on a second, you knew about this 6 months ago and we weren't brought into the loop.
Right.
And we weren't, you know, that's serious ramifications when we're trying to take our sport now that has a black eye on it to another level.
Well, and by all accounts, this was brought to the Board of Governors. In other words, Gary Bettman was made aware of whatever incident took place.
Right.
And it feels like he must have had a vote or some sort of say
said, this is what I would
do. Let's all come together here, which, quite frankly, I think is smart business. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're the league, you should be getting involved here and saying, you know, anything that comes up.
Right.
Bring it to us. Let's talk about it. You don't have to fire someone on the spot to be, you know, no one's asking for that level of due diligence or that type of a reaction.
But they have to, now with the league.
Keep us in the know here.
Well, when the league is under fire, exactly. Keep us in the know so that we don't get blindsided and we can help with the process too.
Mm-hmm. Bob McKenzie will join us on this in about 15 minutes. The winter meetings continue out in San Diego. The Blue Jays have not done anything yet. Didi Gregori is signing in Philly, though.
Ooh.
So he's moving from the AL East to the NL East. And it sounds like Gerrit Cole, there could be a deal at any moment, and it's going to be a significant price, as we know. To get into it, we're joined now by former Miami Marlins president David Sampson. How you doing, David?
Good. How are you?
We're doing pretty well. How do you handle, I'm sure you would have been in the middle of this in the past. I love this mystery team that always gets involved. Like with Gerrit Cole, it's the Yankees, the Angels, the Dodgers, we know it. And now it's being peddled, and I'm sure it's from Scott Boras, that there's a mystery team or two mystery teams. If you're in the room and you're trying to sign a guy, does that even come up on your radar? Do you care about a so-called mystery team?
So I just did a whole segment on this on my show called Nothing Personal, which is a podcast. And I talked about the fact that is so funny to me. When mystery teams matters, when you're talking about sort of maybe a mid-level to low-level free agent, where it's not all that important, he's not number one on your list, and you want to see who your competition is, and agents will drum up mystery teams in order to try to extract the last dollar for that mid-tier free agent. For Gerrit Cole, there's no reason in the world for there to be a mystery team. It doesn't, and it doesn't exist, right? So every owner is aware that Cole is available as a free agent. Every owner wants Cole on his team. Every owner has spoken to the GM about seeing whether or not he could be a fit. And any team where he could be a fit has already contacted Boris and checked in. So Boris using that seemingly as leverage is totally misguided.
What kind of numbers are you expecting here for Gerrit Cole?
Jaw-dropping, mistake-prone, crazy numbers. I think that, look at it this way. Strasburg got 245 over 7, and he's pitching at 32 next year. He's been injured, has sort of a checkered injury past. Gerrit Cole has no such injury past, is 2 years younger. So under my math, I would say Cole could get 8 or 9 years at $37 or $38 million per year. And the question is there any sort of sanity to that level of deal?
Well, I mean, it depends on how desperate you are. It depends on what you get out of it. I mean, Washington is in kind of the opposite position, where they've already won with Strasburg, so they're like, why not double down? We just made a ton of money. He helped. Right. He won the MVP in the playoffs and in the World Series. Where if you're, let's say, the Yankees, and you have not won a World Series in quite some time, if you give them a 7 or 8 year deal at upwards of $300 million and you win a World Series in year two and his arm falls off in year three, does it really matter? You got your World Series.
So that's where my head is. You know, the CC Sabathia deal with the Yankees, they got a ring from CC with CC. That makes it all worth it in the later years when you're paying $30 million to a guy who's a number five starter at best and really probably a number six or a number seven starter. And I think for Gerrit Cole, the ace that he is, I mean, just what great timing for him and for his family, just like Rendon, sort of coming off the greatest possible year you could ever have going into free agency with teams who have money and desperation. Because you have to be both desperate and have money, and when those two things happen, that's when you get these explosive sort of growth in contracts.
Well, David, you've been part of those kinds of negotiations, pitches before. What are they like? Like, I was looking back, I think you were in Florida when you signed Pudge Rodriguez. Like, what are those conversations like when you're trying to lure a free agent like Pudge or like Gerrit Cole to your organization?
Well, Pudge was easy because in 03, no one wanted to sign him. And so we gave him a one-year deal at $10 million, and he took it so fast that we couldn't even finish with the offer because he couldn't get a long-term deal. The next year, he got 4 years and $40 million from Detroit, and we couldn't afford to defend our World Series title with him on the team at that number. For a free agent like Gerrit Cole, it's not really – you know, there's so much media and talk about the meetings where everyone flies to meet with Gerrit Cole and take him out to dinner – and try to get to know him as a person and have him get to know us. That is absolute horse hockey. It doesn't matter. What Gerrit Cole wants and what he will get is the highest dollar. So really what's happening is Scott Boras tells teams, if you want him now, like right now, and you don't want him to even consider any other team, it's going to be 400 over 10. Huh. So give him $40 million a year for 10 years, and I promise you, we won't talk to anyone else. And I have said yes to that with certain players over the years. Like when we signed John Buck, we were told by his agent, give him 3 years and you'll get him because no one's offering him 3 years. But anytime you say yes to what an agent asks for, you are overpaying every time.
with David Sampson, the former president of the Miami Marlins and the host of the Nothing Personal podcast, in terms of those pitches, I mean, that leads us into where the Blue Jays are at. Where the Jays and their staff, they're out there in San Diego, and they're letting everyone know that they're being aggressive, and they're talking to everybody. And Charlie Montoyo, their manager, he came out, and this is what he had to say about a part of the Blue Jays' pitch when they get in these rooms with the agent and with the players.
Well, it's the funny thing about Toronto, you have to be there first to see what it looks like. Like, you know, like you can ask Donaldson, Bautista, Encarnacion, all those guys, how much they love Toronto. And if you've never been there, you don't really know. I didn't know. And I mean, it's just a beautiful city, the diversity of the town. You're playing for a country. But the only way to find out is getting there. And that's the pitch we're trying to, you know, we made a video, we're showing people how beautiful it is. What a beautiful country, what a beautiful stadium, the fans. It's just a great place to play.
So, yeah, I mean, Charlie's in a tough spot because he's the manager.
I love Charlie. Let me just say this. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
But if he, I mean,
a video,
he can't actually believe what he just said, can he?
No. And it's like the Blue Jays have been in the league since 1977, right? Like, yes, I get it. Toronto, for American ball players, maybe, you know, different ball players from around the world, they may not think of Toronto or be as educated about what it's all about. They may just say it's Canada, it's outside of the States, we've got to clear customs, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But in anyone that's been in the league for a while, you've been through Toronto like a dozen times, and you spend 3 or 4 days here. Yeah, you know what Toronto's all about.
You know the city. They're not.
Don't care, guys.
Exactly.
The players don't care. Can I give you a great example that makes me laugh to this day? When Mike Hampton signed his long-term deal with the Colorado Rockies, he stood up on the podium and he said, I signed with Colorado because you have no idea how great their school system is for our kids. And in the industry, we just laughed at him because Colorado completely overpaid him in years and money. And it happened with Manny Machado in San Diego. Manny Machado got on the interview, got on the microphone and said, I went through their whole minor league system. This is a great team with great prospects in a great city. And we laughed because they offered him 300 over 10. He would have signed with the California Penal League if they had offered him 300 over 10.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. Toronto can make a video from the Chamber of Commerce, and Charlie can say those things. But unfortunately, the reality is that for players, they do a tax calculation, and that's all they do. So they do the tax rate, they meet with their accountants, and they compare what a Marlins offer in Florida would be to a Blue Jays offer in Toronto, to a Yankees offer in New York, and then they decide who has the highest after-tax income that they can get, and that's where they sign.
Always appreciate the insight. Thank you for doing this, David.
Hey, my pleasure. Have a good day.
David Sampson, the former president of the Miami Marlins. Yeah, I mean, that's the truth.
How much bank they can take home.
And then beyond that, if everything's equal, then you say, do I want to live here? Depth, do I want to live there? How good is this team? Like, yeah. That's a pretty cynical view that it's simply the money. But in terms of the Blue Jays, trying to sell them on the diversity of the city, like, get real.
You're playing for a country, too.
Yeah, and that's for a country. Like, that means anything to any player. Canadian ball players,
yeah.
I don't even think take that into account. Like, when Russell Martin came up here, they gave him, that's the biggest deal they had ever offered a free agent. They paid him a fortune. Yeah. And yes, he came up here as the Canadian guy, and it was a great signing in 15 and 16.
Right.
Faded in 17 and 18, and now we know the rest is history. He probably paid lip service to it. We'd have to go back and watch. Yeah. But ultimately, he looked at it and said, hey, they're a pretty good team, and they're going to pay me more money than anybody else.
Exactly. Well, can I play devil's advocate a little bit?
Sure.
It already worked once with O-Dog. What do you think, like, what if you're the Jays and you don't really want to sign any of these guys? Like, does it really make sense for a 70-win team to sign Dallas Keuchel for 4 or 5 years? Not really. I mean, they're not really going to be in the mix for the actual big free agents.
But are you expecting them to be a 70-win team for 3 years?
That's the point.
No, but, like, maybe this isn't really the offseason that they should actually be in it. Maybe it's next offseason when, like, they're a little further along.
Which is
true.
And
I just don't know, if you're the organization, what do you say publicly? If you're like, we're not actually really in the mix this year. We don't really actually want any of these, like, middle-tier free agents. All we can really do is be like, yeah, we're in it. We're aggressive. We want to be involved. You can't really come out and say, we don't want to spend money. We're not that good.
I get that.
You're in a tough spot.
But if there are players that you covet that you think can be a part of the solution 2 years from now when these kids found another level, why wouldn't you be in on them now and allow them to grow together?
I just don't know who that is.
Like, I
get that. Who's young enough? Like, a lot of these guys, like, Keuchel's like 30-something. Like, he's not part of your rebuild.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Make it look good, but fall short because you're...
Because you really want to fall short.
You don't really want them.
That might be what they're doing. Like, that is not...
That's not playing
that's not a bold hot take at all. No, it's not. I think there is a lot of validity in that because they're dealing... The PR game would suggest they've got to convince people they're dying to win.
Yeah.
Right.
But... This was a scorched earth, blow it up and restart,
right.
And they're basically a year into it. They just traded Stroman and Sanchez. And right. Like, they just moved on from a lot of the big money.
Yeah.
This time last year, Tulowitzki was still on the roster.
Yeah.
Right? Kendrys Morales was still on the roster.
And they're dealing,
Kevin Pillar.
They're dealing with blowback from that stuff. Like, people still talk about, why didn't you sign Edwin Encarnacion? Why did you have to go out and get Kendrys Morales? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, all this stuff is still built up for them where they've earned no goodwill. So it's like almost anything they do right now, we're going to look at and say, we don't buy it.
Right. And I think that's 100% reasonable. Like, until this front office proves otherwise, no one's going to give them the benefit of the doubt. But I do think there's a lot of value in starting to build up. Like, your kids are here now.
Right.
Like, Vladdy's here, Bichette's here, Biggio's here, Gurriel Jr., as long as they don't move on him, he's here. You can't keep saying, guys, 65 wins, and then we're going to leapfrog when we finally get in the pool and start spending money. You've got to start insulating them with some players and giving them the idea that winning is important to you.
Yeah.
Like,
That's a philosophy
that I do think is important.
But is that real, or is that just putting on a show?
Like, no, I think it's valid.
None of the guys who they're going to sign are going to move the needle.
Well, more so than whoever they're going to replace them with. Like, Keuchel might be who he is, but he's better than, you know, the guy they're going to sign a week before spring training.
But what's the difference?
Well, it could be 4 or 5 wins.
But what does that matter?
Well, if you get 2 or 3 of them, then you're talking 8 to 10 wins, and then you're moving up. And then the year after that, maybe it's another
admission. What would be the perfect progression for this rebuild then? Like, so you're fine with scorched earth and not doing anything this summer again?
Yeah. It's the same thing. It reminds me a little bit of what happened with the Leafs, where for a while the teams were like half whatever. They weren't good. They weren't terrible. And so every summer would come and there would be this fervor. They need to sign this guy. They need to sign this guy. And they did. And they didn't get any better. Like, you go right. And sign Mike Komisarek and you go and sign Francois Beauchemin, and you're just a middling team where you're signing these big fancy free agents who don't actually move the needle.
You're right. But here's I'll be the contrarian on this then. Who on those teams would be the equivalent to Matthews, Marner, Nylander?
No, like they didn't have
those guys.
That's my point.
But the Jays
so would
right
the Jays
now,
have that
sort of
some to a point.
Pretty close. Bichette, Vladdy, and Biggio
to the point where you're looking at Vladdy and saying he's a top 20 player in baseball. Whereas you could look at Matthews like after year one and say he's like top 30, 40.
But if Vladdy plays the way he's capable of playing, he could be next year.
Yeah, that's fair.
He absolutely could be. And sure. Bo Bichette, if he just continues what he did a year ago,
right,
could be a top 20 or 25 back in the American League.
On could short-term be. Contracts, the Daniel Winnicks. And
look at
those
that division. They're not good enough. It's not good enough.
No, they're not. No one's saying any. If they sign Gerrit Cole, they're still not good enough.
Yeah,
right.
But the point is, saying that you're just going to be brutal and then in 3 years snap your fingers and sign 12 players, and then you're good. That's not a reality either.
Right.
No,
right.
You have to build and build and build.
Yeah.
Like, there's...
Yeah.
There's a middle ground, I think, between the two of us that hopefully that's what they're trying to strive for.
Yep.
Does 78 wins mean that much more than 65?
No.
No, but does it... You know, does it add something to the experience of the players?
Adding to the progression.
Does it make you feel better about the year after that? Does it put you in a position where if you do have the money and all things are equal, you can sell your program to the next guy you're trying to acquire?
I agree.
Potentially. We have a pair of Leaf tickets to give away. Leafs Rangers, Saturday, December 28th. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you'll have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue: this former Maple Leaf was able to win one Stanley Cup over the course of his career. One Stanley Cup. Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider, will join us next. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine later in the hour. We haven't even talked about that football game last night where the Eagles found a way to squeak out an overtime win. And it was a perfect night if you're a Giant fan because they're tanking. They want to lose.
Right.
So Eli shows up, couple of touchdowns, looks good.
Did they cover?
Oh, they cover.
Who won the...
Technically, Al's brother and the O-Dog, but you get paid on Tuesday and Friday, and if you're not here...
Yeah.
Those are the rules, man. So,
it's true.
I got my hundy waiting for the O-Dog, but he's got the sniffles, and he's not feeling well.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's not good. Anyway, the World Junior Camp underway in Oakville, Ontario. World Junior Tournament right around the corner. And we've got a man that's on the scene daily out there. Mark Masters on the scene as well. Here's Bob McKenzie, your TSN Hockey Insider. What's up, Bob?
Hey, boys. How you doing tonight?
We're doing good, well. Good. I've been tracking the camp. I mean, it's the preliminary stage of the camp.
But
in terms of trying to get a read on how good this team could be, comparing and contrasting to years past, once everything gets whittled down and we know exactly who's going over to the Czech Republic, how should Canadians be feeling about this group?
You know, it's a really good question, and it's just way too early to tell. They've certainly got some really interesting players and skillful guys, but a little younger than they've been maybe in the past. And certainly the guys that come with the biggest offensive or the highest skill credentials in many instances are the younger guys. So that's to suggest that, I mean, Connor McMichael, the Washington first-round pick who plays for London Knights, he's been lights out in the Ontario Hockey League. He's been arguably the best skater in the OHL this season. And it's sometimes unusual for a guy that goes in the later part of the first round of the draft in his first post-draft year. So he's not a 19-year-old. He's an 18-year-old for junior hockey purposes. And he's just dominated the league. So he's been really good. Quinton Byfield, you know, who's draft eligible this year, you know, he's also shredding the Ontario Hockey League in a 17-year-old season. So those two guys in particular, I think they're going to be on the team, I would think, and deservedly so. But you just never know how younger kids react when you get to the World Juniors. And sometimes in Canada, I think we tend sometimes to overthink things. We always say, well, the World Juniors is a 19-year-old tournament, and it's for the team that's got the most last year junior guys. That's going to be the strongest team, a more physically mature team. And there were the Finns last year, and the two offensive dynamos for Finland last year were a 16-year-old Anton Lundell and a 17-year-old Kaapo Kakko, who was in his draft-eligible year. So sometimes I think you've just got to go roll the dice with younger players. And part of the problem is in a country like Finland, where they're producing elite players, they simply don't have the depth to worry about the age, you know, the 19-year-old thing. If they got a 16-year-old or a 17-year-old who they think is elite, they're in the lineup. Whereas in Canada, you can always find somebody and say, oh, you know what? Yeah, this 17-year-old kid's really good, but there must be a 19-year-old that could be better, even though he's not going to be a star like this guy's going to be. And sometimes you just need to bring the guys who are going to be the stars and say, do your thing and find a way to get it done. So it's way too early to figure out what the composition of this team looks like, but I suspect it will be younger, and the younger guys may be the most skilled guys.
Bob, you mentioned Byfield, and you know, he's talking to a scout, he told me he felt that he could play in the National Hockey League next year because he's that type of strong, big body who can score. Cole Perfetti is somebody else that has come up in conversation with when I talk to scouts. You know, is he a guy that is an impactful guy and could make some noise?
Well, that's a good question. So the thing about Perfetti is he's a decent skater. He's a good skater, but he's not an elite skater. And he's not as physically mature as a guy like, you know, I'm not sure, I don't know if Perfetti's height and weight in front of me, but, you know, he's not an overly huge guy. He's not physically intimidating, and he doesn't beat you with his speed. He beats you with his mind and his hands and finding a spot on the ice and getting open and maximizing opportunity. Give him a breakaway, give him a shootout, as we saw in the Ivan Hlinka tournament in the summer, where he had two breakaway goals and two shootout goals in the semifinal game to get Canada there. You know, that's what he does. So it's interesting because this is a classic case of what I just talked about. I'm sure there's probably a 19-year-old whose overall all-round game is more advanced than Perfetti's, but Perfetti has a skill set that can't be taught. You know, you're born with that one, and he's got it. And so I was just talking to the quizmaster, who informed me that if you count Maxime Comtois' missed penalty shot last year against the Finns, in our last 10 penalty shot or shootout attempts, this is individual shots, not 10 shootout games, but Canada is 0 for 10 at the World Juniors in penalty shots or shootouts, individual shootout attempts. So if Perfetti's not one of your top 12 guys in terms of deserving to be there on his overall play, do you take a kid like that? Because you might get yourself in a shootout for the gold medal game or an elimination game. And what does this kid do but score on breakaways and score on shootouts, as we saw at the Hlinka? So those are all interesting conversations that I'm sure are going to be had here over the course of the week.
With Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider. So some really seismic news in the NHL today. Jim Montgomery, the former head coach now of the Dallas Stars, was fired for unprofessional conduct. And because of what we're dealing with in the game and what's been happening at the Board of Governor meetings and prior to that with Bill Peters and other coaches, I think the immediate reaction was, wow, what has he done with a player, or what may have happened in the past? But it doesn't sound like it had anything to do with the abuse of a player. So what happened here, Bob, and is there any reason to link this to, you know, other issues that have been happening around the game?
I don't believe there's any reason to link it to the other specific issues that we dealt with Bill Peters in Calgary, or the ongoing investigation of Mark Crawford with the Chicago Blackhawks. But, you know, nevertheless, you know, if it's, I would say it's a coincidence that it happened at this particular time. But without knowing all the details, I guess you've got to be careful in terms of how you frame it. You know, Jim Nill was very careful in terms of what he said. And people get frustrated because it's 2019 going on 2020, and everybody thinks there's a right to know everything and that everybody should know everything. And Jim Nill would only say that it was a material act of unprofessionalism that was sufficient to cost him his job. And, you know, it's not a criminal act. We know that. It's not related to an abusive situation involving any past or present members of the Dallas Stars, or you know, something from 10 years ago, like the Peters thing. It's something apparently that happened very recently, and that the Stars were only made aware of on Sunday, I believe. And it took them, you know, less than 48 hours to do their due diligence and make the call that he had to lose his job. And everybody wants the specifics as to what it is. And it seems to me, my take on it from 30,000 feet, I was on the radio in Vancouver this morning getting ready to do a regularly scheduled hit when they said, oh, here's some breaking news, and which came right out of left field.
That's great.
No, not aware of what it was at all, but it's neither here nor there. It seems to me that the Stars' desire to not make anything public in terms of the specifics is, if not to protect Montgomery, maybe there are other people involved, person or people. I don't know this, but it strikes me that there may be reasons why the Stars don't feel it's their story to tell, and that by simply saying, listen, it's a material act of unprofessionalism that resulted in his dismissal. And that's a very, when you use material act or material breach, those are, you know, contractual terms. And so I think in this instance, as near as I can tell, there may be reasons why the Stars want to protect somebody else, who, if it's their story, if there is somebody else, I don't know that there is, but that's just my amateur take on it. Or that they don't want to further embarrass Montgomery for whatever the specifics of it were, and that if he or anybody else who knows what it was want to tell their story, then they're certainly welcome to do that, but the Stars aren't going to do it. So we'll see whether it filters out over time or whether somebody digs in and gets it. But in the meantime, I think we can safely assume that it's not related to the abusive issues that have gone on here, and that it's more a personal act or issue, right, that occurred that the Stars felt that they couldn't abide by.
Well, and I might be off on this, but it sounds like the league was involved in some way. Like
the league knew.
Yeah, the league knew
was aware
about it anyway.
Of what went on. They were made aware of it, I believe, probably on Sunday.
Right.
And Gary Bettman was fully aware of it yesterday when he laid out the 4-point plan in response to everything that happened with Peters and Crawford and other stuff. So, and he felt like he could say in good conscience, because he was asked specific questions, are there any more of these things percolating here? Are there going to be any more? Are we going to wake up to any more news of this coach or that coach being abusive either in the past or the present? And he said, to my knowledge, no. And I guess technically he was correct, because they don't classify what Montgomery did in the same vein as what's going on over the last couple of weeks.
All right. Well, we'll see. I mean, it's been a wild month and a half in the National Hockey League. And the games are ongoing, but we don't talk that much about the games. I mean, coaches are getting fired, and there's different stories coming out. And
such is sport in 2019 going on 20.
Yep, that's
our
reality.
Society now. And I mean, it's no different in any walk of life, really. I mean, politics isn't about politics anymore either. I mean, you know, everything's on another level. And it's just the times we live in, and you got to deal with it and accept it.
Yep.
All right, Bob. We'll do it again later in the week.
Awesome. Thanks a lot.
Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider. Don't forget, we're giving away another trip for two to for the Superfan Spring Break. All right? Don't forget about
excited
that.
About that. Locking eyes with me.
Well, the read has changed again. We're only giving away two more trips before Christmas for TSN 1050 Superfan Spring Break, an ultimate hockey vacation courtesy of BookSeats.com. Join Toronto as they take on Tampa and Florida down in the Sunshine State, including round-trip flights, four nights accommodations, and tickets to the games in late February. To enter, follow us on Instagram at TSN1050 and at BookSeats.com, again on Instagram, and go to TSN1050.ca for all the details. BookSeats.com, custom flight, hotel, and ticket packages to events around the world, simplifying the way fans travel. Couture Best Bets brought to you by Proline. Tee up the Leaf game tonight. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, time now for our Best Bets brought to you by Proline. Over the number, Tampa, Florida tonight. Tampa, they got beat up badly last night against the Islanders. And I think, you know, back-to-back for them, but I expect some goals tonight. I'm on St. Louis in Buffalo. Buffalo coming back from the West Coast. St. Louis losing their last game. I think they react and get a win tonight. And I'm on Vegas at home against Chicago. Throw down 20, you can score 65. You can find my picks on Twitter, at TSN1050Radio. And get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. Leafs in Vancouver tonight. 10 p.m. Eastern time start.
You're going to be up late tonight. You may need a pregame nap.
I'm nervous, man, because I've been talking a lot of smack. Like, I've been chirping the O-Dog.
And you're going to be sick
tonight. I feel horrible. But I've been sick the past 2 days. I mean, my voice is shot for the most part.
Maybe it could take a turn for the worse.
I'm worried about that. Staying up late tonight, watching the Maple Leaf game.
I can't come in tomorrow.
No?
For you, no.
What do you have going on?
I'm not going to be in the city.
You're busy.
Oh, really? You're writing that piece, that mysterious article?
Work. Oh, yeah.
He's got something up his sleeve he wouldn't tell me about in the 4 p.m. hour.
I heard a vicious rumor about it, but I can't remember. I cannot confirm or deny. Ooh.
Actually, I have a question that you guys can ask tomorrow. I've been waiting on it the whole show, and I just keep forgetting.
Okay.
What do you think is the more iconic Toronto sports moment, the shot or Joe Carter?
Carter.
Because it won the World Series?
Yes.
Like, slam dunk.
Slam dunk, it should be 100% Carter.
Okay. I thought so.
But I mean, Kawhi's shot was, it's in the top three or four, but
that was the second,
it was the second round.
Yeah, it was the second round.
But right?
And they could have. They were going to head into overtime, though.
But first championship.
Here's the debate. Is Kawhi shot or the Alomar home run off Eckersley against Oakland? That, I think, would be kind of a similar debate. Because that was in 92.
Yep.
And they hadn't won it yet before. And Kawhi, they hadn't won it before. And,
I also had another
idea. But Carter's
idea.
A walk-off home run to win the World Series. I mean, come on.
For your show. There's a Lou Marsh Award. Why don't you guys have an Overdrive Athlete of the Year? Why don't you guys pick one?
Yeah, I guess we could do that. There's no reason why we won't.
That was just something I thought you could do.
Well, everyone's doing their like decade in review. They're all decade team. We're going to mix in a couple of those, I think, later this week or next week.
We should do the all writers team. Huh. Maybe you could make it.
No
Maybe
one will want to listen to Jonas would that. Be on that.
Oh, I think so. Would Masters make it? I don't know.
I don't consider him a writer anymore. He came up as a writer.
He's reporter. Though.
He's more of a reporter.
Yeah, but we could do the reporter slash writer team.
Like the Elmer Fudd. Yeah. We'll have our all decade Elmer Fudd award.
Yeah, I think we could.
Have
do
you
it.
Heard about the Elmer Fudd?
I was here. I helped you invent it.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. So there you go. We're thinking about doing a lot of different things over the final few weeks here.
Lots of pieces in the works, and let's hope that O-Dog's feeling better.
As far as I know, he hasn't pulled the chute on tomorrow's show yet.
Well, we might get the call tonight.
What are you guys expecting in Vancouver?
I can't get a read. Like, this team, just when I
tonight.
Think they get going,
mm-hmm.
they're, like, not one step back. Like, they are two steps forward, one step back, two steps. Like, you know, I'd like to see some consistency. I think it's going to be a good game because Ray isn't wrong, and I've watched Vancouver play a lot this year. They're a good team. Mm-hmm. Can't sleep on them, but it'll be a good game. Like, it could be a 5-4.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Barn burner, 6-4, empty netter. Like, I could see that just based on the firepower on both sides.
I could see this being a shootout for sure.
Which you're going to be asleep for, right?
Well, depending on if I'm feeling well enough. If I get a little nap in, maybe in between one of the periods, we'll see. But based on what they've done through the first 31 games, they'll lose tonight. Like, they play a great game in St. Louis, and then they'll follow it up in a disappointing loss. I don't know why. I feel like, they're healthy. Marner's back, and he's at 100%. I think that kind of went under the radar. There was so much other stuff going on.
Yeah.
We're still talking about Babcock when Marner returned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But he's like that line had a good night on Saturday.
Well, Matthews had two goals and that line didn't have a great night.
They just were okay.
So if you can get that line, Tavares.
Yep.
They really actually haven't had Tavares line going, Matthews line going at the same time at all.
No. With injuries, with Hyman out, with obviously Janssen's still out. So technically that top line is not intact, but, and Freddie Anderson.
That's the thing. I was just reading some quotes about his workload, and they're going to take a start away from him at some point.
When do you do it?
Tonight would have been the night, but you just got such a good win, and you've got to get it going.
Yeah, you'll have to do it eventually. I mean, Christmas is around the corner, 3 mandatory days off, so we'll see how it goes.
We'll see. All right, Jonas, good seeing you, man. We might see you tomorrow. Maybe we'll see you tomorrow. We'll find out probably in about an hour or two. Noodles, you and I, we should be back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
And we're going to chat then.
Scarborough Nissan is one of the largest volume Nissan dealers in the GTA. And they'd like to thank their customers for the continued support during the construction on Eglinton. Come on in. They're open.
The Nissan Clearout sales event is on now. Lease the 2019 Qashqai S for zero down from $279 a month at 3.6% APR for 64 months. Includes $300 bonus cash.
Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. Visit them on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Ave. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The Nissan Clearout sales event is on. Lease the 2019 Qashqai S for zero down from $279 a month at 3.6% APR for 64 months. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.